We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of my favorite people. He don't even know it, though.
James Samuel.
My brother. Peace
welcome.
To the gods. Peace to the gods.
Peace, black man. How are you?
I'm good, King. I'm good. It's about time, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Mm. Happy to have you, man. You got a new movie out called The Book of Clarence. But before we get to The Book of Clarence, we just got to talk about you, you know, James Samuel, you know, y'all, I'm sure y'all seen The Harder They Fall. That was your first film, right?
Yeah, that was the first, the debut film.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give us a little backstory. What's the James Samuel origin, man?
You know,
it's, how'd you become this superhero?
You know, it's, you know how superheroes are. We were born superheroes. You know, I mean, people like us, we didn't fall into no pit. We were born it. But I was just a guy. There was always instruments in the house. I always had cameras, and I was always doing two things, right? So it's not really what made me like fall into film from music or fall into music from film. It's really what made me not stop being me. The older you get, the more I always say you're taught to level down, right? As a kid, the sky's the limit, right? As an elder, don't count your chickens before they hatch. So you just have to kind of work out a way to hold on to yourself, to never grow up, and continue doing the things that just make you you. So I continued doing music to the point where I was working with Jay Electronica and Tori Amos and all of these people. And I continued doing film. And I was just doing both of them myself, funding whatever I can. Then I made a short film in 2012 called They Die By Dawn. It was a Western. It was like a proof of concept for The Harder They Fall, starring Erykah Badu, Rosario Dawson, Giancarlo Esposito, Michael K. Williams, Harry Lennox, Nate Parker. Basically, I was just going to people's house, and I put them in it, and I did all the music for it. Then me and Jay-Z did the music for the Great Gatsby, and from there, I just pivoted into The Harder They Fall. You know, The Harder They Fall took like 15 years to make, right? And everyone telling you it's never gonna happen, it's too big, you can't do that for your first movie. Your first movie should be like 1 million or 2 million. There was a guy called Andrea Iavolino. He said to me, he said, James, do you know this movie is too big? He's Italian. It's too big. take 5 million, do something small. And if that's successful, I give you more. And that's, you know, when Hov says, I drove by the fork in the road and went straight. Yeah. I looked at this guy. All right, shall I take that 5 mil? Nah, man, my first movie is The Harder They Fall. I have to tell people that 1 in 4 cowboys was black. The name cowboy came from us. They call us cowboys. White people were called cowhands. I just had a mission with that movie. And I never took it. And I went straight and I made The Harder They Fall. Literally a couple years later, I made The Harder They Fall for $90 million budget.
Wow.
Right? A $90 million budget, my debut movie. So, you know, I'm the physical personification of the fact that you can fly. Like it's in us. And when you're on a mission, when you have something to say, people are always going to tell you not to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're always going to tell you not to say it or come out with reasons why you shouldn't say it. But you have to say it, man. You have to stand by your guns. You're an artist. You have something to say. You have to, you know, you have to keep the fight alive. And also, we're gods. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're gods, man. I watched Django, and it's a good movie. We're called niggas 110 times in a 2 hour space.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't niggas, man. We're gods. You shall address us as such.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's probably the origin story.
Well, hold on before you do that. How did, you know, so many people open their arms to you? Because you mentioned Jay Electronica, Michael K. Williams, Erykah Badu, Jay-Z. How did so many people open up their arms to you? Be like, come on, brother, let's do this together. Or how was that?
You know, before Mike Tyson beat the brakes off.
Which one? He beat the brakes off a lot of people. Okay.
Frank Bruno in England. I'm English. So that one was like, whew. We still wanted Tyson to win though, because, you know, it's Tyson. He said, I think on Larry King, Allah forgive me for being so vain, but I'm the best at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Envy.
Mm.
Allah forgive me for being so vain. I'm the best at what I do. I'm literally a once in a lifetime comet. Like no one does. I compose the score.
Mm-hmm.
I write and produce every single song on the soundtrack. Unless someone's rapping, I write and produce every single song on the soundtrack. And also I believe that great artists want to make great art. So when I sit in front of you and I tell you, look, we have never had a movie like this before, ever. Like The Book of Clarence, in 136 years of the moving image, two black people have never been on screen and gone, there's Jesus. We've never had a movie like that before. So when I sit in front of you and I explain to you my intention and the reason why I want to make what I make and I have to make what I make, I'm kind of fortunate and that I'm able to explain it and that the person I'm talking to is able to hold on to it. And then we just go forward and create history.
What was your first love? Was it music or film?
It was both of them, I think, Charlemagne. Like, as a kid, you know, we're black, right? So mm-hmm. music is just all around us mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if that's a good question. I don't even know if that was a first love. That's almost like
it's like breathing. It's an organ. It's us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what we're born into, mm-hmm. right? Like where are you from?
South Carolina,
right?
Yeah.
So you're born into, especially South Carolina, you're mm-hmm. born into mm-hmm. into music. You didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
To become DJ Envy. It's not like you could, DJ Envy was DJ Envy. As long as we've been listening to New York mixtapes and mm-hmm. okay, we're just born into music.
Mm-hmm.
But we were fed film.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I was just addicted to the screen. So I think I was always playing instruments because the instruments around. And I was just addicted to the screen. I had to, you know, I had to make whatever it was I had to make, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I think another thing that we're born into, which probably why we do end up having such a love for music and film, is black people love storytelling.
Yes.
Any way we can tell our story, we tend to gravitate towards. What's exactly. the best vehicle to tell our story?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like we love storytelling. And I think because we've had so much taken away from us,
mm-hmm.
Charlemagne, we've had so much, we have so much barriers put in front of us. Like we could do this, but we can't do that. So we like to dream. But then there's people like us that show that they're not actually dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was saying that I believe like a few hundred years ago, someone changed the word plans, aims, and intentions into dreams. And the moment we embrace that word dream, we embrace the word failure. That's my dream car, my dream house,
mm-hmm.
my dream job, my dream... You show me a dreamer, I'll show you a person who he was going to fail. You can't chase a dream. You're sleeping when you have them. But these aims, these plans, these intentions, we're awake when we have them, right? We're awake, man. I want to be the number one. I'm speaking to a best-selling author.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember back in the day, you'd be watching The Breakfast Club before podcasts
mm-hmm.
as your best TV show. Mm-hmm. And you're like, isn't this a radio show? But you'd be watching it every day as a TV mm-hmm. show, right? All of the grounds you travel and all of the barriers you break, none of them are dreams. Mm-hmm. Their aims, their plans, their intentions, all of these things are real. But, you know, being black, we're constantly told we can't have them, we can't attain them, and we can't do them. Me and Hov speak about this all the time. And for that reason, I have to tell the type of stories. Like, we love, for that reason, we love storytelling and doubling down on it. I have to tell the type of stories that I want to tell. I want to take us to places that we've never been. I took you to the Old West, and I take you to the New Testament.
Now, let's talk about the Book of Clarence. This comes out this week, the 12th.
Yeah.
Now, with this movie, did you have any reservations? Because, you know, people are so, when you talk about religious movies or biblical times or whatever, people are so animated, so have so many questions yeah. and will complain to, I don't even know what's up, especially with this movie.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
At the teaser, at a 60-second teaser, we drop a 60-second teaser, and everyone says, blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Envy. Matthew 24:5. Mm-hmm. Jesus' exact words are, many shall come in my name saying I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. The Bible itself speaks of Simon the sorcerer who was trying to pay his way into the apostles. The Bible itself speaks of Simon the sorcerer. In Jesus' lifetime, in his 33 years of being on the planet, there was 200 to 300 people coming and saying that they're the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You only have to do a Google check. Now, I knew people would be saying that when they look at the teaser. We released a longer trailer and it was less, right? But now when you say blasphemy, you have to stand on it. Mm-hmm. I want to know why you're saying blasphemy. Is it because you're seeing people of color? And if I'm speaking to a person of color, I'm going to ask a deep question.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the trailer for, because you haven't seen the movie, when you look at the trailer for the Book of Clarence and you're yelling blasphemy, one, do you actually read the book you profess to know so much about?
Mm.
Two, and this is to all black people that yelling blasphemy.
Mm.
Are you saying blasphemy because you see yourself in that place and time? Because I'm showing people in that place and time as the same color as you? We are so trained to dismiss anything we see as either blasphemy or, in this day and age, it's the Illuminati.
That's right.
I always tell people, Charlotte, it's a crazy thing, mm-hmm. right? You never hear two white people go, Spielberg and George Lucas are the Illuminati.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? You hear black people go, Jay-Z, Rihanna, and really?
Yep.
Like, really? The Illuminati? Is that what we're doing as soon mm-hmm. as we accomplish yeah. as soon as we accomplish something? So for me, I'm like, I never had any reservations at all. I don't create art in fear.
Mm-hmm.
I never had any reservations at all. And the fact that people are yelling blasphemy is exactly why I had to tell this story. Clarence is about an everyman. It's about you and I, right? Who believes he can do anything, right? But in this belief, he finds himself, you know, in trouble with a village terror.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up on a road of self-discovery and ultimately redemption and faith. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, I don't think it downplays faith at all. I think it examines the motivation behind our faith.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly what it does. Like, if we came about today, I have a 9-year-old son. Let me sit this guy down and try and explain to him about, you know, the virgin birth and all of this stuff. He would look at me with disbelief at first. You have to convince kids that Santa Claus exists. Mm-hmm. You have to tell them that from when they're a baby. You can't start from when they're 10,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and it's, you know, another interesting thing is when you have all of these people that yell blasphemy, I like to say, like, Jesus had 12 apostles. He didn't have 7 billion. Where were all you guys when Jesus was around? Jesus had 12 apostles
yeah.
and probably the 60 or 70 people or a couple of hundred people he was preaching to when he was doing the sermons on the Mount. But they arrested Jesus, right? And then the Romans arrested him, and the Romans killed him, right? They crucified him. Where were all these choruses of supporters? If Jesus came around today, people would be yelling blasphemy.
That's right.
He'd be arrested and crucified all over again. So before you yell blasphemy, just dig in, research. Don't condemn something before you've seen it. But I don't even mind that you do that because the Book of Clarence is a classic.
Like, yeah, it's a fantastic movie, and it's going to be a discussion piece regardless. What you just said about Matthew 24:5,
yeah,
that was the debate me and my wife was having this weekend, and that was the debate we were actually having this morning. It's like, who exactly was Jesus in the film? You know, and maybe this is just me being...
Why your face look like that? He don't look like he don't want to tell us. We were arguing this morning about it.
Maybe I'm just being a little fake deep. What I took from it was everybody's God. We should recognize everybody as God, but the most important thing is recognizing God in yourself.
Recognizing God in yourself, Charlemagne. Like, all of us have that walk on water moment. Even though Jesus is in the film, right? Mm-hmm. And he's clear and he's in the film and I go through.
I don't know if it's as clear as you thought it was, because me and him was arguing this morning about this.
My wife got it.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
So it was super clear, but Charlemagne's wife got it. Here's the thing. And Envy, you know, Envy loves an argument. Envy loves a debate.
Absolutely.
So, but there is a God in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's super important, man. Like when we see each other, it's peace to the God.
Mm-hmm.
It's peace to the God. Like, there's a God in yourself, and that's like the most important thing, because not everyone that's going to watch this film is a Christian. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to watch it. You know, like when people champion their religions, but I find everyone to be a disbeliever of some sort. If I'm speaking to a Christian, okay, so you disbelieve in all the other religions on the planet. Mm-hmm. You just believe in yours, right? Mm-hmm. But whatever your belief is, God is inside you. Right, whatever your belief is, even if you have no faith, God is inside you. And I want people to take that away from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So what you took away from it, for me, is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's job well done. Because, you know, it's the first movie of its kind in mm-hmm. 136 years of the moving mm-hmm. image. Right? It's a really beautiful thing. And you know me, Charlemagne. Like, I'm always excited about mm-hmm. what I do. Filmmakers are almost like, it's politically incorrect to say, my movie's wicked. Like Christopher Nolan, you watch a Christopher Nolan interview, you're asleep by the end of it. Even his movies are amazing. But the interviews are, whereas I'm not that guy. The mm-hmm. Book of Clarence is an amazing film. We've never seen anything like it. It's easy to critique something when it's done. But watch it first and celebrate cinema.
Amazing film. And I know people will have reservations at first because it is a biblical movie.
Mm.
I mean, even myself, when I first seen it, I'm like, oh, here we go. I wasn't excited until I seen it. And when I seen it, I was super duper excited. I was kind of mad that I was seeing it on my phone and laptop at first. So I want to see it this Friday when it comes to theaters. Lakeith Stanfield, perfect actor for the part.
Perfect.
Like it was fantastic. What made you find him and what made you say he's the perfect person? He played that. I don't think there's anybody that could have played it better.
Thank you, Envy. Here's what happened, right? I wrote Clarence. I had no idea that I can cast it. And I was casting for The Harder They Fall. And Lakeith came on the phone. And I was in Mexico. And during the call, he got a call from his cousin. And he got worried. He got taken aback. So, you know, he's speaking to a director and he's in a particular mode. Then he's like, yo, it's my cousin, man. I gotta go take this call. Somebody probably got shot in the hood. He ran through all of these. He ran through like a soliloquy of happenings.
Things that could happen, yeah.
Put down the phone. And when he put down the phone, I called my sister. Tanya, I found Clarence. She's like, what? I found Clarence, Tanya. This guy has got every single emotion that Clarence has. Because Clarence, we don't want to talk about the ending, but Clarence goes through every mm-hmm. single emotion that you possibly can that you possibly can go through in that environment. And he just possesses everything. Then he came to set to play Cherokee Bill in The Harder They Fall. I was like, this is it. It's him. So on the last day when we wrapped, I hugged him. I was like, yo, don't go too far though. I'm coming back. There's something else. And as soon as we finished with The Harder They Fall, I went straight into the Book of Clarence. If he didn't want to do the film, I would have shot something else.
Wow. Mm.
It was him. It was him. And I think I'm really dope at finding actors and you know, like, you know, working with people at that, like Dion Cole in The Harder They Fall. Mm-hmm. I gave him the grill and people had never seen Dion Cole. Like, mm-hmm. They you cast the Old Spice guy? I'm like, I'm from London. I've never seen the Old Spice adverts. I just know that this guy is perfect for this role. Mm-hmm. And Lakeith, man, he killed it, man. He kills it. It's a real tour de force of a performance. You know what I mean?
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Clarence says at one point in the movie, knowledge is stronger than belief. And it made me wonder, could that distinction of knowledge and belief, did that influence his pursuit of the truth?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time he says it to the apostles. Because you know how we are, Charlemagne. Like we grew up and our friends are religious at first. And before we adopt any faith, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, 5%, whatever we adopt, at first we're looking at our friends and we're questioning them. Like someone would be telling me, don't drink alcohol while they're smoking a cigarette, right? Like, man, you believe in God. If you knew there was a God, you would not, don't be telling me that cigarettes aren't haram. Mm-hmm. If you knew there was God, like knowledge is stronger than belief. It's Clarence's whole ethos. And you know, that's a motif that I've thought throughout my life. I remember, again, Mike Tyson fighting Michael Spinks in that 91 second massacre. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing wasn't the massacre in 91 seconds. It was what Tyson done when he walked back to his corner. He just turns around and puts up his hands like he knew he was going to win. Mm-hmm. Michael Spinks believed he could win. Like knowledge is stronger than belief. What happens is we embark on faith, right? And we have belief in something, and then something happens in our lives and it turns that belief into knowledge. Like, now I know God exists because you can't explain this stuff that happened. Mm-hmm. You can't explain the majesty of what we've just been through. You can't explain how I just hove 3 shots close range. You can't explain how I got out of this. I know God exists, right? So it goes from knowledge to belief. And the beautiful thing is, that's our journey with Clarence, right? He doesn't have any belief, and we watch him acquire the knowledge, right? We watch him garner faith. I think it's a really important film also.
I got to ask you something else, but you made me think about something. Why are you so inspired by Brooklyn People? You reference Mike Tyson a lot. We know the relationship with Hov. Why?
You know what? I'll say this. I've never even thought of that before. I'm inspired by humans. I don't necessarily regard myself as I'm English, right? I was born in England.
Yeah.
But the whole planet is mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I am Africa. I am America. Mm-hmm. The whole planet is mine. Someone talks about the solar system and how irrelevant we are in the solar system. I'm like, you're joking. When you tell me about the solar system, I'm like, look at my galaxy. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much time we got.
We got plenty.
Okay, so Pete, this. Watch. This is for everyone listening. Mm-hmm. What I'm about to say is a heavy thing. Mm-hmm. Scientists. I was watching something the other day. A scientist was talking about, you know, it takes 300.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just 65 days for the Earth to revolve around the sun, then the sun a certain amount of light years to revolve around the black hole, and the sun's only like 2 years old in that regard. And it was speaking about the ever-expansive solar system, the ever-expansive solar system, the ever-expansive solar system. Peep this. They said, it shows how irrelevant we are, right? We think, you know, we're the center of the universe, going to our mundane jobs and our thing and worrying about our mundane problems. And when you think of the ever-expanding solar system, this is all relevant. I looked at that like, I can prove to you right now why you're wrong, my brother. Because you are the same scientist that tells me there's no life after this. There's no hereafter. Okay, envy, Charlemagne. If there is no hereafter, that means for everything you said about the ever-expansive solar system, it all stops right now if I die. Everything you said is irrelevant if I die. Therefore, the center of the solar system is to every single living organism. If you are alive and you are a living organism, you are the center of the solar system, because it doesn't exist without you being alive. The solar system can't exist without me being alive for it to do so, right? We are the center. And I honestly believe, like, I always say every morning when I open my eyes, God says, action. If you see life like that, you will see yourself as much more than people continuously tell you you are. You know what I mean?
So it makes me wonder, right, when you talk about Clarence. Clarence saw Jesus early on in the movie. And Clarence said, I want that.
What now?
Yeah, but what was the that? Was the that the attention? Was the that the knowledge of self, the truth? Like, what was
Or was it the finance, or was it the money?
It was the clout.
The clout.
Clarence sees Jesus coming up with the 12 apostles. He's protected, people in the street clamoring around him. This, and Clarence saw all the materialistic stuff, which a lot of these preachers around today see. A lot of preachers today see the Bible as opportunity, right? As opportunity, a mass, humongous amounts of wealth. So Clarence is in the town square with his best friend Elijah. He's walking, he sees Jesus coming in and everyone clamoring around him. And he's like, look, and they're protected. No one messes with them. No one messes with him. And Elijah's like, I want to be like that in 10 years. Like, I want that kind of presence, that kind of dominance. Clarence is like, I want that now.
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
So at first he wanted all of the wrong things. All of the wrong things. And he ventures down this road.
He figures it out, yeah.
And that's when it becomes like DMX and Belly to me. Because remember in...
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. Okay. When he was told to kill...
Yeah,
to kill,
but on that journey of pretending...
Self-discovery,
yes,
and redemption.
Absolutely.
You know, and that happens to all of us.
That's right.
We can't tell a story like this and we be so, dare I say, ignorant as to holler blasphemy as soon as you see a tale. What, should we just tell stories of Jesus? Jesus' life? You know what I mean? Like, we have to, firstly, I believe that we belong in those days, right? But we also have to be able to look at the 360 degree element of okay, here's Jesus, but what was all of the things around it, especially in that day and time? Like, why is it we've never seen ourselves in that day and time in a
film, yeah, movie
ever in the history of the moving image?
I gotta ask a question. You might not want to answer me. You might want to tell me off screen. The homeless person.
Don't give away any spoilers, though.
Okay, all right, forget it.
Okay,
you just proved me wrong. I was wrong. You just proved me wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if you're wrong, but Lakeith should win an Oscar for this, or at least be nominated.
Thank you, Charlemagne.
He don't just play Clarence. He plays
his twin brother
Thomas.
And Thomas in the Bible was a twin. Here's the thing that is, because you know it's interesting. Like people don't read the Bible that much. They speak about it. Thomas was a twin, right? His name Didymus meant twin, so they were calling him twin all the time, but no one ever speaks about whether he had a twin brother, or the Bible doesn't speak about whether he had a twin brother or twin sister
right?
He's just a twin. So we know him as Doubting Thomas. We didn't even know he was a twin, but he's actually a twin. So the Book of Clarence is like my depiction of Thomas's twin brother.
Where did you shoot that? Did
you have him play Thomas to highlight the polarities within ourselves?
Yeah, my brother.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? And the conflicts that we have within ourselves. And also, you know, just being growing up the way we all grew up, right? Like, we weren't with Charlemagne in South Carolina, but we were with you. And we've been watching you for years, right? So we all grew up the same. And we have these internal conflicts and internal struggles all the time between doing right and doing good. And also, what is actually right and what is good? Shall I stand and fight, or shall I walk away from this one? Right? So Thomas shows that polarity. But I'm glad you said, like, Lakeith, what you said about Lakeith's performance, because it's amazing.
Oh, no, it's incredible.
No, it was incredible. It was hands down. Yeah. It made me believe every aspect of every character he played, whether it was his brother, whether it was him at the club, or whether it was him, whether he was facing, whether it was trials and tribulations, the love scene. It made me believe.
Yeah.
To the point where you ever see a movie and be like, there's no other person that could have played that part. That's what I felt like with that.
Yeah, and you know, me and Lakeith have had our little petty issues back and forth in this game, right? But it's just like he is serious enough, but also comedic enough to pull off what you did
absolutely
in this film.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, like he has all of the oh, I'm looking at Envy looking all smooth. I'm like, let me just touch my face. Envy's looking too smooth over there. I don't even look off camera. Envy said, I noticed you don't have no light-skinned dudes in there.
I said no light-skinned brothers. Charlamagne goes, that's why I loved it.
Yeah, this is why I
loved it. There was not one light-skinned brother. And I was like, damn, there was no light-skinned brothers in biblical times?
They came later.
My wife had a question. She was like, what was the logic behind having Mary Magdalene at the Last Supper, but then covering her up?
Yeah. But she was, you know, like, I just think I wanted to have a Last Supper that depicted Mary Magdalene, because Mary Magdalene was around Jesus a lot.
Absolutely.
And Jesus was the one person that knew, he was the only person that knew that was the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, well, Jesus may have Mary there, right? And, you know, he might not, but he may have Mary there. And also, I think that Last Supper scene for me is really important, because usually when they show Judas, they never ever give gradients to Judas. Judas is just known as the man that betrayed Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Judas was chosen to be one of the apostles. We wouldn't have been. Well, maybe we would have, but I don't think I would have made it into the apostle gang.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Judas was there, Judas was probably a good guy that done one bad thing. It's not like he had a history of evil, right? So I wanted to show his possible reasons for doing what he did.
Interesting, because I always say you shouldn't judge people based off what they do when they're in survival mode.
Exactly.
But what about when you do something as heinous as Judas?
As Judas.
Though?
But
wow.
So I wanted to show like why he was doing it. He says in the film, "We're revolutionaries. We're not pacifists. Why are we?" Like, fight and just show his frustrations, played excellently by Michael Ward from Top Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, just to have these English actors with these American actors, and it's just an amazing thing, man.
I was gonna ask, you know, I asked earlier, where did you shoot that? Because when I watch movies now, I watch it from a different lens, right? I watch it for the movie lens, but I also watch everything around it, right?
Mm.
And I'm looking at how real it looks and the time it must take in set directing. Where did you shoot that?
I shot in a Matera in Italy. It's like the fourth oldest inhabited city in the world, right? It's thousands of years old. The caves are still there from when they were living in caves.
Mm.
And you could do an aerial 360 and still be in ancient Jerusalem. Mel Gibson shot Passion of the Christ there, and No Time to Die, the last James Bond movie. Mm-hmm. The opening was shot there. But the city's so amazing. I just knew that if I have black people ascend on this town, it's just going to look like something we've never seen before.
Do you ever have to take something out of a movie because your mind goes too far? Like, do you ever say, James, man, I can't do that? I mean, just from the horse racing to everything that you had in that flick, from caves and all that, is there one thing they'd be like, James, we just can't do that?
Nah, I mean, not in this movie. With The Harder They Fall, there was a couple times where people were like, okay, James, you can't do this or you can't do that. But I never take it out. No way. Okay, in the beginning of The Harder They Fall, they have a shootout in a canyon, right? With a Crimson Hood gang. They're all in pink hoods.
Yep.
And the guy kills a horse. Bang. They're like, you can't kill a fake horse, James. You know,
can't kill a fake horse.
You can't kill a fake horse. I was like, what? It's a fake horse. No, but James, you can't do that. I was like, with all the movies I've seen with horses, get murked.
Get stabbed, shot,
everything.
You can
kill a person, but you can't kill a horse?
Watch this. They said, no. I said, really? But Tarantino could decapitate black people's. I'm just saying, like with the N-word, over 100 times in one movie, you get upset when I kill a fake horse. That fake horse is going to get murked twice. And I'm leaving it in there. Or then stop them from doing that. Because I'm more offended at being called the N-word a billion times than a fake horse. No horses were harmed during The Harder They Fall. So there is, and I left it in there. So there is things that sometimes you kind of bump up against. Mm-hmm. But as a creator, I create from a good place. And also, I think my track record shows that the art that I give the world, they're not getting from anyone else. So therefore, man, you're welcome. Just enjoy your majestic Elohim supreme. Let me do me.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Pico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Pico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. I got a bunch more questions, but I don't want to give away too
much. That's the problem.
Movie,
you just that's the problem, so much, man. Like, so you know, many questions you have.
That's why we have to do this again.
Yes. After, yes.
I would say, based on just subject matter, because you did mention Passion of the Christ, how would you say the book of Clarence differs from the Passion of the Christ?
Well, the Passion of Christ is a story of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Of his last days. The Book of Clarence isn't the story of Jesus at all.
Is it not, though? That's what we're wondering. Is it not? Is
I like that you said it, because you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
You've seen it. So it's probably the story of the God in us, right? But what I wanted to do with the Book of Clarence was make a movie that resembled the environment that I grew up in. You know, growing up, I watched Ben-Hur, The Ten Commandments, Quo Vadis, Samson and Delilah, The Robe, The Greatest Story Ever Told. But I never known no one that looks like Yul Brynner as the Pharaoh in Egypt. I never known no one that looks like Charlton Heston. You know, Charlton Heston had a brutal kind of, good-looking dude, but brutal kind of face. When he says, "Get your paws off me, you damn dirty ape," you can see the apes be like, "Wow, you're being really racist right here. We were just capturing you. You're actually taking it to new levels." I never related to what they were showing me, even though we were familiar with some of the stories. Mm-hmm. I never related to the depiction of those stories or those people in those stories. So I wanted to shoot to tell a story of the environment that I grew up in. Charlemagne's name is Charlemagne the God. Mm-hmm. He's from the hood in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Like, we grew up with gods. Like, mm-hmm. peace to the God, peace to the mm-hmm. God. That's how we grew up. I wanted mm-hmm. to tell that story, mm-hmm. but transpose it 2,000 years prior to show how little times have changed and how much in common we have with that era. So it's really the story, the Book of Clarence is really the story of an everyman, right? An everyman who finds faith, finds redemption. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Passion of the Christ is a story of Jesus per se. It's like pages taken from the Bible. These are more like
Yours could be the real story, because it's like, we all know Jesus was black, right? And they would never tell us if he really was. We know how the colonizer works. So how do we know the Book of Clarence isn't the actual story of Jesus? Well, people saw that story and said, no, this is going to be the image of it, though.
Just for everyone at home, Charlemagne said that. I didn't. I'm like, for the record, no, Charlemagne, you're absolutely wrong. But I mean, you know those ones? If celluloid shoe fits. The Book of Clarence is a layered film.
Mm-hmm. And you score everything yourself.
Say?
You score everything yourself.
I do the entire score. I compose the entire score myself.
That's your song at the end.
Yeah,
that's you singing.
I write and produce every single song in the soundtrack. And I write, produce, and perform. Unlike the Hard Day 4, where I did a slew of various artists, this one I perform every song, but with various artists. But this soundtrack is amazing. The Hard Day 4 soundtrack won every award that wasn't racist, and I think the BET awards just got amnesia. Like, you didn't even nominate the Hard Day 4 for nothing. Okay, I don't make art for hardware, mm-hmm. but the Book of Clarence soundtrack, which released Friday, same day as the movie, is the hardest soundtrack on the planet. It's like myself, D'Angelo. I got D'Angelo and Jay-Z on the same track.
How did that happen? You got to break that down. How did that happen?
Why is it 10 minutes?
9 minutes.
9 minutes, 33 seconds. Because it's just biblical, soulful bliss. You remember them joints? I was like, I'm not doing a radio edit for this joint.
Thanks, James. I'm going to have to do it myself. Forget it.
Thank you, bro.
Friday, I'm going to have to do it.
Give me the DJ Envy edit. It's just that good.
How long is Jay-Z's verse if the song is 9 minutes?
Jay-Z's, it's not one of those ones like God did.
He's
like speaking on it. He's not like rapping. He's not rhyming. He's like, he's just talking on it like he just comes in and floats, mm-hmm. and D'Angelo goes in. So it's just that good. It's, you know, George Benjor on the soundtrack, 84 years old. He's the guy that sings, "Oh, Ariabo, Oba, oba, oba. Doja Cat on a soundtrack with on the same song as Kodak Black.
As, wow.
And they go in. Charlamagne.
Wow.
They go in.
I love both of them.
Kodak goes in.
Wow.
Doja goes in. Like the soundtrack is, here's the thing. I'm so glad I'm saying this on The Breakfast Club, man. No matter how dope a director is and a composer is, Sergio Leone and Ennio Morricone, Steven Spielberg and John Williams, right? Alfred Hitchcock, Bernard Herrmann, whoever it is, there's always a handoff. Like filmmaking is handing the baton to, like, okay, I've directed a film, you hand the baton to the composer. As a James, I can always feel the handoff where the director stops and the composer starts. I can always feel it. No matter how beautifully in sync they are, I can always feel it. Mm-hmm. When you're watching a James film, you'll hear the Nat Love. You'll see Nat Love riding his horse to Barrington Levy, an original Barrington Levy song, right? Jing, jing. He'll get off his horse and walk into a saloon, and that song will turn into a saloon version. The song would stop, and he'll be whistling it, right? Because I compose everything. So I compose the music as I'm writing the script, and I write the songs as I'm writing the script. So the songs speak to the score and speak to directly what's happening in the scene. So there's no handoff. You can't feel any handoff. Everything is kind of one continuous wave, so to speak. And it's a beautiful thing to create like that. And that's why I always compose my scores. I just hear things
differently.
I just hear things differently. I hear, like, you be saying something, like, I'll hear the melody in it, and I'll take that melody and make it in songs. But songs aren't, composers don't write around speech. But I'll take your speech pattern. The first time you see the hobo, right? The first time you see the hobo, when he talks, every word he says, there's a flute playing over his voice. But you don't necessarily get that. But with a James Samuel film, you get that. You get one continuous wave between your visual and your sonics. I always say that I see music and I hear film.
You know what I mean? You took black people to the Old West. You took black people to the New Testament. Where are you taking us next?
What's next?
I don't know. Like, well, I know what we're doing next is I've kind of held it under my hat. But eventually, though, we have to go to space. We have to go to space. Like, I'll go to all the genres, right? All the genres. And I have something like modern day, which is absolutely crazy. But eventually we have to go to space. Like, we deserve to be in these places. I also think that, you know, as a kid we were given all the genres, but we were never given black people in them.
That's right? Real.
We're never given black people.
That's real.
Like, imagine the road that you walked to end up being Charlemagne the God, having never seen no visual reference in entertainment, that you are that. You know what I mean? Like, you never see no visual reference saying Charlemagne's, I'm a God. You never seen it, right? We've never had it. So you would have to go through all the learnings and all the spiritual growth that you've been through to get to that place.
Take elements from everything. 5% teachings, hip hop,
everything. Yeah. But the one thing we didn't get, like, that when people talk about, where did you first see black people in the Old West? Marley Marl. Symphony. First time I saw black people in the Old West. Kumo D's, Wild Wild West. First time I seen black people in the Old West. That's the only reference I had. Because before then, even if you show me Buck and the Preacher with Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte, it's like one black cowboy and white overseers. Everything always involved white overseers and a couple of blacks. Like, we just never had it. We never seen black people in the Bible days.
Wow. Well, I'm excited for you guys to go out and check out this movie.
Yeah, man. This is one of them ones you got to go to the theaters
to
see.
Go like, see
it's, not, it's not too many films that get me out the house to want to go sit in a movie theater. This is one of them ones you got to go sit and watch in the movie theater.
You have to. You have to, man. You have to. It's a pleasure being on the Breakfast Club and speaking to this, to the audience that you know, that you've amassed over the years and tell them about the Book of Clarence, man. Like, this is the first movie of its kind ever. Literally ever. So before, you know, you holler blasphemy, really just watch the film first. Like, it doesn't blaspheme. You know, it really respects faith. You're not going to come out of this movie questioning your faith. But if you're a non-believer, you may come out of this movie questioning your non-belief.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You may come out of this movie questioning your non-belief. But
that's right.
It, you know, it's a beautiful film, and it's a film that we all have to, I think, watch. It's the first movie that everyone can recognize the environment. Even if you're white, you can recognize this environment. It's an environment you drive by every day.
That's right.
Whatever, you know, whatever color you are. And it's a movie that, most importantly, we deserve. We deserve this film.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
well, The Book of Clarence comes out this Friday, January 12th. James Samuel, we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
I appreciate you for having me. Charlemagne, the black god.
Envy,
the black god.
Beige god.
And, I'm black. There's no beige. I'm black.
He's fully black. Fully black. But I promise you, Envy, in the next installment, no, I'll make things a little darker.
Get light skin, brother. Light skin, brother. That's
but you know the crazy thing? I'll say this. Jesus is kind of, you know, he's played by Nicholas Pinnock in this movie, and a dope actor. And I know Nicholas well from London. I know Nicholas from Road. And I didn't want to cast Nicholas. I was going to cast him as something else, one of the other apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he just read for Jesus, and he was just kind of...
Don't say no more.
Yeah.
Hold on, so Benedict coming back to
watch
it?
Hey, I gotta kill this dude.
Okay,
now we gotta have a conversation with him now. All right. Two guys, you guys are not gonna be here for this conversation, but you know, you gotta come back up when we can talk about
for
it
sure.
In depth. All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.